you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture tonight and bring the message that God's put in my heart. The Bible said in verse number 2 of chapter number 8, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him." Sounds to me like Stephen was highly respected, highly loved, amen. It sounds to me like the people really, really appreciated what God was doing in Stephen's life. If God will help me tonight, I want to preach on this subject for just a little while. God's man is buried. Now what? God's man is buried. Now what? You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for washing us. Lord, thank you for calling us. Lord, there, I could still be under that welding shield, putting steel together, building mining equipment. We'd still be building houses with Daddy. But Lord, you seen fit to put us in the ministry. God, I'm grateful. Lord, I'm not too good to do those other things. God, I love what I'm doing. And I praise you, Lord, for the call of God on my life. Lord, you called Brother Coulter out of our church. You sent us some wonderful young men that preach the gospel. God, I pray if it be in your will, you'd raise up another. Lord, put your hand on some young man, Lord. Call him, Lord, to preach this blessed old book. What a blessing that'd be. God, help us tonight. As we look in the Scripture, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Simple message tonight, but I begin to examine the Scripture this afternoon, thinking that God was leading me this way, and then the more I chewed on it, the bigger it got. I'm reminded of a man that my dad used to work with. How many's ever eaten one of those little pecan pies? Some of them come with an aluminum bottom, and some of them come with a cardboard bottom. This fellow was going home that my dad knew. He was a long-haul truck driver. And he said, I was within a couple hours of the house, so he said, I didn't want to ruin my meal. He said, I knew my wife would have dinner ready when I got in, so he said, I stopped and got me a Pepsi and two of them pecan pies. Brother Michael, he said, that first one went real good. He said, boy, it tasted good. But he said, that second one, he said, I had to work at it. He said, I chewed and I chewed and I chewed and I chewed. Come to find out, he didn't take that cardboard bottom off of it. Amen. And the Word of God's like that sometimes. He said, it seemed like the more I chewed, the bigger it got. And sometimes that's the way it is with God's Word. You just chew on it, and it keeps us swelling. Amen. Just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Let me give you the thought that God's put on our heart. God's man is buried. Now what? Turn back with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua. I don't know why, but the Lord just reminded me of this. Joshua chapter number 1. In the text there in the book of Acts, it's Stephen that has passed away. And here in Joshua chapter number 1, I was reminded of the first verse. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. Isn't it good to know that God will never leave himself without a witness? God's man may pass off the scene, but God's got a plan, amen? He's got somebody to take up the slack. For Moses, it was Joshua. And what I want you to see here in the Word today, or this evening, is for Stephen, it was Philip. God had a man by the name of Philip. He's listed in, there's actually two Philips. One is an apostle, and one and a disciple. One is the deacon. And he's listed in with the deacons here, and that's who we're talking about tonight. There was Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. Philip was the next one. So when you come into this text tonight, we talk about God's man, Stephen. He had been buried. Now what? I'll give you three things tonight, simple things. Number one, the war goes on. In other words, the war doesn't stop because God's man is buried. I want to call your attention to the word in verse number 1 of chapter number 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. In other words, beloved, listen, Stephen found himself in a battle when he was preaching the word of God. And that battle didn't stop when Stephen died. Amen. When they stoned him to death, the war goes on. And listen, we're not talking about now the World War I or II or the Korean War, the Vietnam War. We're talking about a spiritual war. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't know if you recall or not, but I was preaching chapel at the Christian school, at Cedarview Christian School, just a little while back. And a young man in the fifth grade made a profession of faith. He said he knew about sin. He knew he was a sinner, and he made a profession of faith. And on the way out of the gymnasium where we had the chapel service, he said, Pastor, he said, my little sister is in preschool, and her teacher told her that she could be a boy. You know what I believe? There's a war going on. Amen. A lot of this mess, I would use another word. But a lot of this mess, beloved, is starting with the adults. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that we're in a battle. We're in a battle for our children, a battle for our grandchildren. We're in a battle in this country. Amen. For liberty. If some had their way, beloved, you wouldn't even be able to recognize America if they had their way. And so there was persecution. In the third verse, I see something else as the war goes on. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. Not only was there persecution, but there was prison. You can listen to me tonight, you can believe me or not, but if something don't happen in this country, it'll be persecution and prison all over again. Amen. I thank God that God's still got some men. You can't scare them with prison bars. Amen. You can't even scare them with execution, because they believe this book so strongly that they're not going to back up. Amen. Because of something this world has come up with that's against the things of God. There's still souls out there that hate the church and hate the Word of God and hate the Lord Jesus and hate prayer and hate even the liberty that we enjoy in this country. We're so messed up. You've got people out here on the street protesting in favor, beloved, of those people that killed all those Israelis, and they don't realize that what they profess to be, if they just set foot in that country, they'd kill them too. Amen. They ain't got enough sense to blow their nose. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to wake up and realize that we're in a battle. We're in a war. Amen. And God's man was buried, but the war goes on. Now, secondly, it gets better. The news gets better. And by the way, if the war hasn't come to your home, it will. Just hang around a little while. Amen. It will. That battle will come to your home. Amen. It'll be your children, your grandchildren. I'm telling you, beloved, our adversary, the devil's still walking about and like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. And I don't believe he's too interested in devouring those that are already his. Amen. He's interested in devouring those that love this book and love that blessed hope and love the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's who he's interested in devouring tonight. So God's man is buried. Now what? Number one, the war goes on. I won't say any more about that tonight, but I tell you, you surely know that in America, there's a war that's raging. Amen. In the world, there's a war that's raging. Brother Dale, I wonder where you'd find young men today. I wonder where you'd find them, beloved, that would be willing to lay their life on the line for this country. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, they're not as many as they used to be. Amen. And one of the reasons they're not trained up to love that flag and love this country. Amen. And it's worth fighting for. The war goes on. Secondly, not only does the war go on, the man of God's buried, but I thank God for this, the work goes on. Again, I told you this morning, and I can't help the way I think, but I just thought Brother Jack would be glad to know that he didn't pour 30-something years of his life into a work, and then he got on to heaven and the work just cave in. The work goes on. Hallelujah, amen. I'm telling you, beloved, watch what I'm saying here tonight. I want you to see this. The Bible said in verse number 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. What'd they do? Preaching the word. Hallelujah. Amen. The work goes on. Amen. Listen, there'll come a day if Jesus don't come first, I'll lay this old carcass down. But I thank God I've got absolute confidence that the work will go on until, beloved, the end when our Lord will come again. Amen. The Bible mentioned in verse number 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I love that, don't you? Watch what the Bible said in verse number 12. I want you to see what he says about preaching. But when they believed Philip, the Bible said, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The work goes on. In verse number 25, the Bible said, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. One of the things I enjoyed when I was with Rock of Ages and I traveled all over the Southeast. I traveled in the Midwest. I traveled up in the Northeast. One of the things I enjoyed was realizing that God's got handfuls of people scattered out all over the globe that preach the same book, believe the same gospel, and the work is going on, amen, even after the man of God is buried. I thank God for that. And then you go over there in the same chapter, I'm keying in on the word preach. And the Bible said, the eunuch said to Philip, how can I? Philip said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? In verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I don't know about you, but I thank God. I believe Stephen's in heaven now. The Son of God has stood up and welcomed him home. But Brother Gary, I believe Stephen's saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, the work is going on. They're still getting saved in Samaria. Look at yonder, there's a eunuch out there. You say, God wouldn't let them know that. Well, let me ask you a question. How come the Bible said there's rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth more than 99? I don't know, beloved. I just try to use my imagination. You get in some of these hospitals. And when there's a little baby born, there's a chime played throughout the hospital that lets you know there's a life come into the world in that nursery. I wonder what God does in heaven that just lets them know another one was birthed into the family of God. I don't know that for sure, and I won't be dogmatic about it, but it didn't say the angels were rejoicing. It said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. I don't know about you, but I think it's wonderful, beloved, to know, yes, the war goes on, but hallelujah, the work goes on. Amen. And by the way, God's work is work. I said God's work is work. It's work. If you have a prayer life, it's work. Amen. You have to work at it. Amen. And beloved, if you're going to serve the Lord, beloved, it's not all cookies and cream. Beloved, there's work involved in the work of God. The work goes on. The war goes on. But then let me give you this, and I'm going to close tonight. I'm wore out. Not only that, the worship goes on. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible said here in verse number 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. And, you know, Philip, he's already went down to Samaria. He's already dealt with this man, Simon the sorcerer. And he's already went back to Jerusalem. And the angel of the Lord said to Philip, he said, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for the worship. Wait a minute. You say, now, Pastor, you believe the worship goes on. Yeah, let me just say this to you. Brother John touched on this morning, and God brought it back to my mind as I studied. Look here at Acts chapter number 17. I'm going to show you something, beloved, here. The Bible said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. That's what it said. And him declare I unto you. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with the Ethiopian eunuch? He went to Jerusalem to worship. But he's worshiping ignorantly right now. Amen. He don't know Jesus. He don't know nothing about what he's reading in the book of Isaiah. But he knows this. There's something missing down on the inside of him. Hey, let me say this. Everybody's going to worship something or someone. Amen. It's put inside of us to worship. Amen. But you say, Pastor, the worship goes on. Well, I'm going to show you something. The Bible said he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, the Spirit of God's already led him into the desert, and now the Spirit of God puts his finger. He said, over there, that chariot. I want you to go over there and join yourself to that chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man guide me? I know I've already read this, but let's look at it. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he read, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Wouldn't you like to heard that sermon? I don't know what all Philip told him, but I believe Philip told him something like this, son. That should have been you and me hanging on that cross. The Son of God loved you. He loved me enough to go and take our place on that cross. I believe he said they beat him. They spit on him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They drove nails in his hands and in his feet. I believe Philip done a good job explaining the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ as it's painted in the book of Isaiah chapter number 53. Now watch. And as they went on their way, way, they came unto a certain water. By the way, it wasn't a glass of water. It wasn't a goblet of water. I heard a story years ago about a Baptist preacher that went in a church to preach. He said there was a nice goblet of water there sitting on the pulpit. And he said when he got thirsty, take him a drink. But he said he noticed that the men on the front bench, every time he done it, they would just cringe. He found out at the end of the service he had drunk the holy water. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. They didn't find a glass of water. I'm going to show you why. The Bible said here, and he went on their way. They came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, I've told you about Jesus. If you believe with all your heart, then you may. Thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You say, Pastor, what's all that about? Let me just tell you this. Beloved, Philip knew and the eunuch knew. That's why the church was being persecuted, because they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Here's a man, eunuch. Beloved, listen, just like Philip, just like Stephen, he said, if it costs me my life, that's okay. I believe he's the Son of God, just like the Bible said. Watch this now. I'm talking about worship. The worship goes on. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down into the water. Honey, they didn't go into a goblet. Say amen. They didn't go into a glass of water. Both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Now watch this. The worship changed. Brother John, it's no longer ignorantly worshiping. He's been introduced to the Son of God. And the Bible said, beloved, the eunuch saw him no more. And he, that eunuch, went on his way. Doing what? Rejoicing in the goodness of God. Amen. He done went and met Jesus. And the free pardon of sin, been forgiven. And beloved, listen, he understood it wasn't the water that saved him, but the water said, I'm not ashamed of him that saved me. Amen. And the Bible said, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, here he goes again. The work goes on. He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You say, Pastor, what do you think? Well, I think Stephen's real happy that the work is going on. Amen. That a man's changed now from ignorantly worshiping to knowingly worshiping. He knows, beloved, listen, who he's worshiping now. The one that gave his life for him. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad. Listen, you say, Pastor, you glad the war goes on? Yeah, it lets me know I'm on the right side of things. Say amen. Amen. I'm on the right side of things, beloved. Listen, if I didn't have somebody stirring up against me, and if I didn't have a foe, if the old devil wasn't giving me a fit, say amen, I'd wonder if I belonged to him or not. But I'm glad, thank God, I have somebody in me. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You say, Pastor, who's going to win this thing? I'm going to tell you, I've already read the last chapter of the last book. And God's people, we win. Amen. Philip's still alive. He's winning. Stephen's in heaven. He's already won. Amen. Let me just say this tonight. With Jesus, you can't lose. It's impossible. Whoever wrote that song, I'm a winner either way, they got it right. Say amen. If I go or if I stay, I'll still serve my Jesus each passing day. What a blessing tonight. How many's glad you come tonight?